Chapter 18. A Light Shines. I traveled for years after the death of my dear wife. Sadness lay on me so heavily that it seemed my heart could barely beat. I continued to write, and my books were published. My fame grew, but I cared little. I ended up in Switzerland. The incredible beauty of the place began my healing. So I stayed. I wrote. I took long walks, and my health grew robust even as my heart slowly mended. I received a packet of letters from Agnes when I had stopped moving long enough for them to catch me. Her words were as wise and bright as ever. I marveled at her belief in me. She had absolute faith that I would come out on the other side of grief and that I would do great things. How could anyone who knew me so well always think so well of me? I read her letters many times. I wrote to her. I told her that without her, I never would be what she seemed to think I was. I said she inspired me to try. I thought long and often of Agnes, and suddenly I saw something with clear eyes. I loved Agnes. I believe she loved me. But I had so long built up the relationship of brother and sister between us that I doubted we could ever be more than that. I went home to London. My first visit was to Tommy Traddles. I learned he had finally married while I was gone. Now he lived with Sophie and her sisters. I had never seen Traddles so completely content. Even though his rooms were crowded with giggling women, I was cheered by his happiness. My next stop was to see my aunt. She told me that she heard often from the Micawbers and that they had taken to the simple life of Australia with vigor. Mr. Micawber had become a man of some note now, and his success had allowed him to settle every past debt. I learned that Mr. Dick continued with his occupation as a copier and delighted in being able to support himself. Finally, I touched on the subject of Agnes. I said I intended to visit her and her father the next day.
"Mr. Wickfield no longer practices law," my aunt said. "Agnes has opened a school for girls. I believe it is a great success."
"How could it be otherwise?" I asked. "Does she have anyone special in her life?" My aunt smiled.
"She could have married 20 times, my dear, since you have been gone. I suspect she has a grand love of her life, and I believe she is going to be married. But those are only my thoughts, and you should not repeat them."
"If Agnes is in love," I said, "I am certain she will tell me." So I went the next day to Canterbury, and my heart soared at the sight of my dear Agnes. It was my intention to keep my feelings secret, but I had never been able to keep a secret from Agnes.
"You are so thoughtful," Agnes said.
"Shall I tell you why?" I asked. Agnes peered at me, her face anxious for the first time.
"Dearest Agnes, I respect you and honor you, and I love you," I said. "I wish only that I could call you something more than friend, more even than sister."
At that, Agnes began to cry. I stared at her tears in horror.
"Agnes, even when I love Dora, I counted so much on you. I would be lost without you. I went away loving you, though I did not see it yet. I stayed away loving you. I returned home loving you."
She laid a gentle hand on my arm and said softly,
"I have loved you all my life."
And so my life changed again. Agnes and I were married, and two happier people could hardly have lived. We had children of our own and lived our lives in the happiness of dear friends and family. What more could any man ask?